Good evening and welcome to First His Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change your life. Today is Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, and we're so glad to have each one of you here joining us tonight. And tonight we're going to be continuing with our message about holding fast. And of course, here with me is my lovely wife, Grace.
Hello, everybody.
We're so glad to have you here. And let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're here with us tonight. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for each and every person who's listening tonight, that you prepare their hearts and minds to hear this message. And Father, we just thank you for your Spirit to guide us and give us the words to say that'll be a benefit to you and your kingdom, Father. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. We're so glad to have you. And we want to start off like we always do. Take a hold of your Bible, which is the Word of God. Hold it up and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I have whatever it says I have.
And I have whatever it says I have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that is, it's so good to remind ourselves of that on a regular basis, because this word, the Word of God, is where we should find our identity. This is where we should find our authority, who we are in Christ, who, what we have, what we can do. It's all those things that we just confessed, who we are, what we can do, and what we have.
Yeah, and lately, every time I pick up the word, it's like I look at it, because I think it was you, but you heard somebody else say it, that you're reading a love letter.
That's exactly right.
It's his love letter to us about how we're supposed to navigate this life.
I know we've said it before, that it's like having a test. And it's an open book test.
Yeah,
we have all the answers to the test. And I know that's kind of a lighthearted, funny way of saying it. But when you think about it in very serious terms, he has given us everything we need to navigate this life. But it's in the Word.
Amen.
So that's on us. Are we reading the Word? Are we tapping in and feeding on what he has for us? And that's us again. That's it's not just going to fall out on us. It's not, you have to intentionally seek the Word, study the Word, meditate the Word, sing it, sing a song, meditate a scripture, you know, keep it in the midst of your heart throughout your day. And especially when we're navigating things that are, you know, crisis moments.
Yeah. And you know, if you listened to Pastor Jesse last night, he was saying that the Word is a supernatural experience. So every time you sit down and read the Word, you're stepping into the supernatural. This is not even the physical of this world. This is a supernatural experience.
You know, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. But it's something that we should every time have an expectation. Tonight, for those of you joining us tonight, you're here because you have an expectation for what God has for you and for what we're going to share. And we're sharing two words, hold fast.
Hold fast.
And that's powerful. But we want to expand on that, because for us who are faith walkers, we walk by sight and not by faith. Sorry. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? Sorry, guys. I just had a long day at work. No excuses. I caught it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so for most of our lives and for most people, it's the opposite. It is, I walk by sight. I am moved by circumstances. Mm-hmm. Any situation is going to move me. My feelings are going to navigate the direction I go. All of that is against what we learn and know as Christians.
Yeah, and those two words, holding fast, hold fast, is about holding fast to the confession of your faith.
Yes.
It's not about just holding fast to this countertop that right. we're sitting here.
Or a really good, you know, really good deal you got on a used car. No, this is the word of God. Right. This is what we're holding fast.
Yes.
So before you think, well, you know, Grace, you and Daryl have just taken off with your own little mantra and stuff. No, no, no. Let's go read the word. Mm-hmm. Our foundation scriptures are Hebrew 4:14, Hebrews 10:23, and Revelation 2:25. So let's start with Hebrews 4:14.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession.
Wow. He is the great high priest. No, notice how it said great. He is the great high priest, the Son of God. This is not just, like we said, this isn't just anything we're holding fast to. Mm. This is the word of God.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's go to Hebrews 10:23.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
I love that scripture. Without wavering. Holding fast is without wavering.
Yeah, and I mean, without wavering, that's in there for a reason.
Yes.
And the reason why is because we're going to have a lot of opportunities to waver.
To let go.
Every day.
And unless you hold fast, if I hold fast on a Tuesday and I let go on Thursday, and then I pick it up on Saturday, I'm not holding fast.
No.
I'm actually wavering. Yeah, that's the definition.
That is wavering.
That is wavering. I'm going back and forth and back and forth. Holding fast is simply that. It, you know, I've heard Pastor Jesse say this before. The word is not hard. You know, it's not any, it's, God never asks us to do the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
He says nothing is impossible with him. But for us, everything he tells us and shows us in his word, it's reasonable. We can do it.
It's doable.
It's doable.
It's doable.
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. And when I say that, it's because I'm just being real. Because we have circumstances that hit us every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, I am so ready to hold fast. You are locked in and strapped in like you're going on some roller coaster ride. And you are ready. And here comes a bump and you hold fast. And here comes another bump. And now a dip and a bump. And, you know, and you might last. And but maybe on day three, you're starting to get worn out.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are faith walkers, we walk by faith. And not by sight. So we don't let go. We don't let go at all until we don't even let go. We hold fast even after the manifestation. So there's two times we hold fast, which is right, really all the time. We hold fast before the manifestation. Mm-hmm. Whatever we're praying and believing for and confessing, we're holding fast to that confession, that word. And then after the prayer is answered and we get the manifestation, we hold fast to the manifestation. So basically, we're supposed to be holding fast every day
mm-hmm.
for all of it and not wavering. Let's go to Revelation 2:25, just so we give you one more scripture that says this.
Okay, and this is Jesus. But hold fast what you have till I come. That's pretty straightforward.
Simple and straightforward. Hold fast till I come. So that is our role. This is what we're telling, and this is in red. If you look in your Bible, it's in red because Jesus said it. So read the red and do what he said.
Uh-huh.
So these scriptures are just three. And there's really more than this. But these three are the ones that are our foundation scriptures for holding fast. So a lot of times people might be praying for something. And then, you know, we know each other because we might lift each other up in prayer, say, how can I agree with you? And then maybe it doesn't manifest or it doesn't happen. They don't get that. Whatever it is, that healing they were praying for, that job they were praying for, that, you know, that relationship to be restored didn't happen or whatever. Let's just know one thing. We do not know, as close as someone is, it can be your best friend, a relative. Every one of our relationship is a personal one with Jesus. So we can't know all the ins and outs of that of your particular relationship with God, my particular, you know, we all have that. We can observe, and that's why we rejoice when we hear glory stories, because we celebrate each other's victories. But what I'm saying is there are times where we might look at someone else who didn't get an answer to a prayer, and it discourages us. And somehow that affects us, or we think, well, you know, it isn't God's will. Mm-hmm. Maybe, and now you're not holding fast. Our interest in the word, our holding fast is speaking the word of God. We speak, we hold fast against the opposition that tries to come at us every day. And it including someone else's story. Maybe mm-hmm. someone else was believing for something that you were believing, and you know, wow, they're really spiritual. And maybe they are. But again, everyone has their own race to run. And so this holding fast is for each of us. And if you're praying something and you're holding fast 90% of the time, that's not holding fast. That's not holding fast. Yeah. By definition, that is wavering.
Yeah, and I think it's just, we need to know on the front end, and we kind of just said it a few minutes ago, there will come an opportunity to hold fast. So when that opportunity comes and you say, okay, I'm going to hold fast, but how do I do that?
Yeah.
Well, you have to ask one question. There's just one question. What does the word say about it?
That's right.
And as soon as you say, well, what does the word say about it? You're back on track.
Yes.
The word says I'm a conqueror. I'm an overcomer.
That's right.
That's what the word says.
That's
and you
right.
go and find the scripture that's about what you need to hold fast on. And that's what you do. You read it and you hold fast on that promise.
And this, you know, we're sharing very practical ways, because what does that look like, holding fast? What is it about? And you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, it's doable. It's doable for all of us. But when you are believing for a financial miracle, a breakthrough, you need to be feeding on financial scriptures, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. On the words that have to do with provision and supply and prosperity. And what does God say on that topic? Because God says a lot about mm-hmm. pretty much everything.
Right.
But you need to go find those scriptures, and all you need is one mm-hmm. to stand on and hold fast to. Amen? So, but if you're reading about healing scriptures and you need financial breakthrough, you're not on the right track there. Healing scriptures is great to read, but if you're believing for a financial breakthrough because you have a crisis in your life at this moment, that's what you need to be feeding on, and vice versa. A financial scripture is not going to do someone any good if they need healing. So we need to be intentional about what we are feeding on in the word and what we are reading about and looking to, because when we know as Christians that God's word is his final authority, then we see that as, that's it. Brother Hagin used to say, God said it, I believe it. That settled it. And it did. In his mind, which is such, why he was such a great man of faith. But we can also have that level of faith. God wants us to operate in faith. And sometimes people think, well, it's not enough to just not say the wrong things. You can say, well, I'm not rehearsing the problem, because we've talked about that, mm-hmm. not to rehearse that problem, but to speak the promise, to speak God's word. That's key, because sometimes it's not enough to not say the wrong thing, but we need to say the right thing. We talked a little bit last week about how, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that wasn't the first time they held fast. They were good at it because they had done it before. That's what we need to do. We need to practice throughout our daily lives holding fast. And it can be a little thing. It can be a medium thing. It can be a great big thing. But we all need to develop these muscles and develop the skill, because God expects us, you know, we please God, Hebrews 11:6, by faith. It's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. That's how he wants us to operate. And the word faith, here's what happens. Faith gives God permission to move in our lives. Faith opens the door. If you want to think of it as a pipeline or a conduit, it gives God access to work in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, when you think about it, faith doesn't heal us. The power of God heals us, but faith gives us access to him.
Amen.
So faith is the thing. It's the conduit. It's the pipeline. It's the access that we give God to our lives. So it's his power that heals. It's his power that, you know, produces breakthroughs, whether it's financial or in a relationship or with your job or what have you. It is God's power, but faith is what gives him access. So without faith, we don't give him access. Well, how do we give God access? By faith? What is faith? Speaking the word, holding fast to the promises of God, meditating on it, speaking it over our life. Now we've given him access. When I say a prayer, oh Lord, let's say I'm believing for finances. Lord, you know the situation with my finances. You know, help me make it come to pass. That might sound like a pretty neat prayer. It is worth diddly, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Why? Because there was no scripture in that prayer. Mm-hmm. There was no word. So we've got the heavenly host. There's a supernatural realm. We've got God listening. Remember, we know that God listens for his word, for people all over the earth, speaking the word. He listens. He watches over his word.
To perform it.
See, his word will never come back void. So if I'm saying a prayer that does not line up with the word, it's going nowhere. But we can in our mind think, but I've prayed. But nothing happened. Were you praying the word? That's the access. That by faith, that's how we give access to God. And we want to be teachable. As faith walkers, we want to feed on the word and always be teachable to learn to recognize God's voice and, of course, his word. So when you have a need in your life, there's three things you need to do. So you were just given a bad report, or something just critical happened at work, some kind of a relationship, whatever it is, fill in the blank for a need that you have had in your life. Right there and then, you're at a crossroads. You have an opportunity. How are you going to respond? Here's the number one thing. Faith hears. It hears the word of God. Remember, we know that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word mm-hmm. of God. So it's not going to do you a whole lot of good to play video games or to go, you know what I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with that, or to go work out at a gym for 4 hours, there's nothing wrong with that, except if you do it at the expense of not feeding on the word.
If that's the only thing you do, right.
Right. So faith hears. Second thing, faith believes. Third thing, we release our faith. So when there's a need, we need to hear the word of God, believe the word of God, and we release our faith. How do we release? That's the word of God. We're speaking the words and we're acting on the words. Faith is a verb. Mm-hmm. Faith is never silent, and faith is never quiet, and faith does never, it's not, you know, just lying on a recliner. There's action in faith. Amen. And strong faith holds fast to that which we have received. And that's when the manifestation has come. When you have your answer to your prayer, we are to share it. We are to give our testimony, to share with others, to encourage them, but also to be thankful for what God has done to you, for you.
You know, I'm just right while you're talking, the account of the woman with the issue of blood. Now, there was somebody that held fast.
Yeah.
You know, she heard about what Jesus was doing, but then all these obstacles were coming. Well, he's way over there. Well, I have this issue. I'm not very strong. Look at all the people. How am I going to get through the people? But at each step, she held fast.
She did. And she believed. She believed. And then she did something else. She released her faith.
I mean, she didn't give up.
She never did. And when we release our faith, that's the action. We're putting our faith mm-hmm. into action. We're releasing it. She believed. She heard that Jesus could do this. She believed it. It's not like she doubted it, because she put herself at great risk to go into the crowd that day.
Yeah.
Because a woman that was bleeding was not even supposed to be in public.
She could have been, I guess, stoned.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They were considered unclean. But she believed, and then she put her faith into action. I'm telling you, there are so many stories in the Bible. I love the Bible, and I know it's the Word of God, but I also see so many stories in it. And it's, to me, it's a book of stories about people who are example. So we want to read about just such an account. Again, there's many. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to talk about one. We're going to read a passage in the Bible about one. That's probably the best example. I don't know, but I'm saying that, and I'm thinking about David and Goliath, thinking about Joseph, come on, and being thrown in a pit, and then he was thrown in jail for something he didn't do, and you know.
Well, isn't that like God? He didn't give us just one little example. He gave us many, many
so
examples.
Many examples.
Yeah.
But today, before we leave, we want to park on the example of Abraham and Sarah. And yes, I'm saying both of them. And we're going to start reading this account in Genesis. If you want to follow along, it starts in verse 22. This is an amazing story. And I know I actually said Abraham and Sarah. This particular portion of their story, because they have a long story. They have the story in the beginning. This is after Isaac was born. And this story focuses on Abraham and Isaac. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about Isaac after. But let's go ahead and read, Daryl, if you can. Start in verse 1.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went took the ram and offered it up a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of the heaven, and he said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Wow is right. Thank you for reading all that. Mm-hmm. We could park here for a while.
Yeah.
There's so many things. And I like in the very beginning, when he tells his two servants, Stay here, the boy and I will be back. Yeah. He knew. He was already speaking it. The boy and I will be back. Now, he knows what God has asked him to do, but he's still saying that.
And why did he know? Why did he know that? What was he standing on that he knew God was going to do something? Because he'd already promised.
He had already promised. He was holding fast to the word of God. Uh-huh. Whatever other circumstances were between the word of God and what God had said, you know, go to this place and sacrifice your son, he knew he was holding fast to God's word. Uh-huh. He never let go of that, to the point where he's walking up a mountain and he's, you know, about to sacrifice his son. And then God stops him. One of the things that I want to point out here is that some scholars put Isaac as old as 37. They say his age was anywhere from a young man to all the way up to 37. But remember, they called young men young because they lived until to be like 600 years old. So someone who's 24 is a young man,
yeah.
You know? Anyway, but think about it. They walked 3 days. So he wasn't a little boy. He wasn't a toddler. And Abraham put the wood on Isaac's shoulders. In my translation, it said that when they were about to go up the mountain, he put the wood on it. So he was strong enough to carry the wood mm-hmm. on his shoulders after walking 3 days to this place and go up the hill. So I'm going to talk a bit about Isaac's faith, because he had to hold fast mm-hmm. because he wasn't told anything by God. But what was he doing? He was obeying his father, his earthly father. And so his father said they were going to sacrifice. And even when he was going up and he said, I see the wood and I see the fire pot, but I don't see the sacrifice. He was still following Abraham.
Yeah. And I think because we've had the notion that he was young, we had this idea in our head that, okay, he was bound to the altar. There's nothing he could have done about it to get up. But no, he was, we know somewhere between what, 25 and 37. Mm-hmm. And so he could have gotten off the altar if he wanted to.
But even if you say he was 15,
he still could have done.
His father told him to get on the altar.
And he stayed.
And then he bound him on the altar.
Yeah.
So he was being obedient to his earthly father, even without knowing what the promise was. So in a way, he was also walking by faith, because it was his obedience to his father and his love for his father, mm-hmm. no matter what.
Right.
So I think that's pretty remarkable. But anyway, there's so many things. We can glean a whole lot out of this, but let's stay on the holding fast part for Abraham. What I love about this is that it shows how God, all the way until the very last minute, and then God tells him not to do it. And it's because he was seeing, you know, Abraham, the son that has been promised, the son who through Isaac was going to come all the multitudes, your descendants shall be like stars. That was part of the promise. And yet he was willing to sacrifice him to God, which showed God that Abraham loved him first. Mm-hmm. This is what we should all do. You know, as much as I want my husband to love me, I want to be second in his life for love. I want God to be number one in his life, for him to love God more than anything else.
And vice versa.
And here's the reason why, because I know that if he puts God first and loves God first, then I know that he's going to love me better because he loves God first.
We'll all be blessed.
And we'll all be blessed, right. And yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
And so here's the deal, is we're talking about holding fast, and I want to encourage all of us, when we walk by faith, I've heard Pastor Jesse say before, if you're bored, you're doing it wrong. If you're living your life as a Christian and you're bored, or it seems like the same old, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. It is truly an adventure. It's a happy adventure. It's a great adventure. And we're to fight the good fight of faith. And it's good because it's a fight of victory. And we hold fast to God's word because he is faithful to, right? Faithful yes. to, he is faithful to perform it. But in the Hebrews 10:23, it says it a different way. I was quoting the scripture that says God watches over his word to perform it. But Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, for he who promised is faithful.
Is faithful.
So God is not a liar. God's word will never be void. He doesn't say one thing one day and change his mind on the next day.
Right.
His word never changes.
He's unchangeable.
And so we can take that and hold fast to it because it never changes.
Right.
Isn't that good?
Yes, yes. Amen.
God is so good. Well, I hope that blessed you. I know it blessed me. And I just want to encourage you as you walk out this week in little things, you can be holding fast that your car is going to operate. It doesn't matter if your car is 14 years old, that it operates every day. You're holding fast to Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, because he will provide me an adequate
transportation. Yeah.
The same can be said for whatever you're holding fast to, but we should be practicing this every day so we can become skillful and disciplined in this area, because it is the holding fast that allows us to see the manifestation of God move in our life. We are opening that pipeline, that door. We're opening that conduit. So by faith, now we've given God to work with, to come in our lives and to work, right?
Amen.
Because we're giving him the word and we're operating in faith. And that is what produces the results.
Yes. Amen. And it's not about us trying to get things from God.
No.
But here's the deal. He wants us
to
partnership with him
for
the best, for us to have our best life. He just wants to be in that partnership with us. That's what it's about.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He loves us so much. He is looking. He's waiting for us to speak the word, because this, he has given us everything. Think about it. He didn't withhold his own son. Of course, he wants the very best life for us.
Amen.
So when we don't operate in that and when we don't live it, I'm sure that disappoints him, because he already provided everything we need for life and godliness. And isn't that a good God?
Yes.
Oh, we love him so much. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just want to encourage you all to hold fast and to stay strong, feed on the word, don't let go, and have a blessed rest of the week.
Yes, amen. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.